Today's shir is for his chus for refuah shleima for shalom ben bracha. Today's shir is mesechta nedarim, daf tes, and we will be ezra Hashem yisbarach begin at the mishnah on daf tes amud aleph. As we have been discussing quite extensively in our shiurim, the way one expresses his nether is critical to the determination if the nether is considered a valid nether. Or not a valid nether. As we've been learning and will continue to be learning, there's the concept of kinui nedarim, there's the concept of yadus nedarim, and these are all situations where Chazal had to make a determination if that is a legitimate nether. So says the Mishnah, if somebody in expressing his nether says kenidri rishoyim, he says, I want to make a nether like the rishoyim make. So, of course, explains the Ran, that we're not talking about people who are full-fledged Rishoyim. People who are full-fledged Rishoyim are not people that make Nedarim, the people who don't follow Torah law. Our Gemara is referring to people who are obviously observant, but their level of observance or the way that they behave is not exactly in line with the way Chazal really wanted to behave. So somebody said, Kenidri Rishoyim. He says, I want to make a nether like the Rishoyim make. If he said, Nadab and Nazir, if he said the word Hareini, which is, we're going to learn in the Gemara, the way a Nazir typically accepts upon himself as a Naziris. He said, Hareini Nazir, and there was a Nazir walking in front of him. And to be a little more accurate, he said, Kenidri Rishoyim Hareini. That is a way that he will become a Nazir. Or Bekarbin, if he said Harei Olai, or he said Kenidre Rishoyim Olai. So again, there was an animal passing in front of him, which was a carbon, and he, seeing that animal, said Kenidre Rishoyim Olai, saying that is a way of expressing that he wants to bring a carbon. There are Rishoyim that explain that we're not speaking about someone who's bringing a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, but as we discussed at the first shir of our Masechta, there's a concept of atfosa, that when somebody makes a nether, he's matvis it, he connects it to something which is made usur because of a loshen nether. And we said that perfect example is a carbon, because a carbon is a man-made nether. A person makes upon himself the obligation to bring a carbon. If somebody then attaches that to anything else, he attaches it, let's say, to a loaf of bread, so that is a hatfosa. Ubishvua, if somebody said in a lashon shvua that he made knidre kishvuas rishoyim himenu, when you use the word himenu, that is the way that a shvua is affected. And here he used the word, those words. In all these cases, it's going to be an effective means of expressing your nether. So as we explained, that our Mishnah is teaching us further examples of Yodas Nadarim. And as we said, that the halacha is that since Rishoyim are the ones that typically make Nedarim, this is considered a valid nether. But many Rishoyim already ask a question on Tosfos. Tosfos, at the beginning of our Masechta, said that by Shvua, there are no Yodas. There's a concept of Yodas Nedarim, but there is no concept of Yodas Shvuas. But we just learned that this would be an effective way of making a Shvua. And the Meiri, because of this question, says that this is not to be considered a yodos, it's to be considered a regular Lashon Shvua. But many Achroinim, the Meraim Yisada, says there's a difference in Shvuas, is whether one expresses a Shvua by himself or one was told to accept upon an oath. Our Mishnah, the Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta, when said that there's no concept of Yodas Shvuas, was referring to a situation of Mushbar B'Pi Acherim, as we just said, that one can become obligated in a shvua based on somebody else telling him to make a shvua. And our Mishnah says Tosfos by yodesh by mushbem mipi acherim, there is no concept of yodesh shvuas. But our Mishnah is not referring to a situation of somebody being mushbem mipi acherim. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation of mushba mipi atzmai. Because our Mishnah is referring to somebody who's mushba mipi atzmai, by mushba mipi atzmai, Tosfos will agree that there is a concept of yodesh shvuas. And as we've been explaining, since the Mishnah, the premise of the Mishnah is that Rishoyim are the way that they normally speak this way, and since they Rishayim speak that way, that's why these are all examples of where the nether would be a valid nether. And therefore, continues the Mishnah, if the way one articulated the nether was by saying Kenidre was Ksherim, Ksherim, people who act the way the Torah wants us to act, don't articulate themselves that way, Loi Amaklum, the halacha is that it's not considered valid. I did see to the question that we just mentioned, that Tosfos says there's no such thing as Yodesh Shvuas, and our Mishnah clearly seems to say that there is Yodesh Shvuas. The Rav Gershon Edelstein Shlita, part of its Rosh Yeshiva, wants to differentiate between a Shvuas Bitui versus a Shvuas Eidus and Shvuas Bekodim. Shvuas Bitui means when somebody, as we often have been discussing in our Shurim, accepts upon himself, expresses a Shvuah. In those cases of a shvuas bitui, that's where our Mishnah is referring to, and he says that even Tosfos would agree that there are yodesh shvuas. When we speak about a case where there are no yodesh shvuas, a shvuas eidus, which is very similar to the teretz that the Meroim Yisada gave, where somebody approaches somebody else and says, "You know testimony on my behalf," and he swears falsely that he doesn't, and then he admits that he lies, so that's called a shvuas eidus. Shvuas pekodin is where somebody comes over to somebody else and says you're holding an object of mine, and he swears falsely that he doesn't, that he isn't, and then admits that he did. Rabbi Yehuda Dasra explains what is pshat when we speak about nidri rishoyim. Why are people who make these type of nidorim? Because we go back to what the Ran taught us. The Ran says that the Rishoyim of our Mishnah are not the people who we think about as normally being a Rosh, somebody who's not observant. We're speaking about people who are good people. They're just not as careful as they ought to be. So why is that called Kenidre Rishoyim? So Rav Dessler Zatzal explains that what differentiates a Rosh from a Tzaddik, he explains, is that a tzaddik thinks about the future, and the rasha doesn't think about the future. He only thinks about the here and now. He only thinks about the present. Says Rav Dessler, a person, and we're going to see this concept quite extensively in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, a person who only, when he makes a nether, is obviously not thinking about the future. He's only thinking about the present. Right now, for whatever reason, he feels he ought to make a nether. He doesn't think about the repercussions of that nether. That's why the person who makes a nether is considered that the nether is something that Rishoyim make. But if somebody, as we just learned, says, Kenidri Rishoyim, Loyam Kenidri Ksherim, Loyam Klum. Because people who are Ksherim think about the repercussions of what they are undertaking. For example, the Shita Mukubetzis discusses somebody who undertakes upon himself a Naziris. There are so many details, as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, in one being a Nazir, and therefore undertaking a Naziris is something that a Kasha doesn't do, because he can't be certain that he'll be able to fulfill all of his obligations. Similarly, somebody who obligates himself to bring a carbon, somebody brings to obligate himself to give stock up. We've learned that the halacha is about ta'achar, the halacha is about yachel, and therefore, that's why ksherim le'am klum, because ksherim don't make nedarim. The Rambam takes a different approach. The Rambam says, why kenidri ksherim le'am klum? because the Rashba explain the Rambam explains that typically nedarim are made in anger. Somebody gets upset, somebody gets angry, and he makes out of in his moment of kas, he makes a neder. Explains the Rambam, the difference between Rishayim and Ksherim are individuals who have control. And even if they get upset, they don't just express a neder. But the Rashba asks a question that we know that the Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu was running away, the Pasuk says, V'yida Yaakov neder lemar, that Yaakov Avinu made a neder and was saying, how do we understand this in light of what we're learning now, that Ksherim don't make nedarim? So the Rashba explains that Yaakov's expression was not a full-fledged neder. Rather, it was something that he decided he would do, but not that he accepted upon himself as a neder. Tosfos in Masechta Chulin, however, says that even though we're learning now that Ksherim don't make a neder, but if somebody is in a shas tzara, if somebody is suffering, then he's allowed to make a neder. And certainly, then Yaakov Avinu was in a shas tzara, then he's allowed to make a neder. In fact, the Shilta Kabayrim brings a raya to that Tosfos, because the Pasuk says, Nedarai LaHashem HaShalem, Pasuk we say in Tehillim, and because Kos Yeshuas Esau, that the person made a neder, explains the Shilta Kabayrim, when he was suffering, and now Kos Yeshuas Esau, he Baruch Shem had a Yeshua, and now he's fulfilling his neder. But there are Rishonim that disagree with that Tosfos, and they say that a person is not supposed to make nedarim. He's not supposed to make nedarim even of an eis tzara. The Tosfos Yeshanim answers that Yaakov Avinu was before Matan Torah. So we know this whole issue of the avos. Did they fulfill the entire Torah? Did they not fulfill the entire Torah? Is sort of unclear. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says that one can make a neder that before Matan Torah, the others were not careful about not making the Dharam. Kenidrik Sherim, Loyam Akulam, Kenidvaisam. But if somebody said, I want to give a Nedava the way Sherim give Nedavas, then the halacha is Nada Benazar. And there was a Nazar passing in front of him, and he said, Kenidvas Ksherim Hareini, or he wants to donate a carbon, and he said, Kenidvas Ksherim Alai, and it was the animal that was there, which was a carbon. Then, if you use the word Nedava, teaches us the Mishnah, that is a wording that Ksherim use, and since that's the wording that Ksherim use, it would be acceptable articulation of your neder. So the Rashba asks, that we know that we often speak about a neder and a nedava, as we will in our current shiur. What is the difference between a neder and a nedava? A neder is hare alai, where you take personal responsibility. Nedava is hare zu, where you didn't say, I'm responsible to bring an animal for carbon. You designate a specific animal, and you say, I'm going to bring this animal for a carbon. So ask the Rashba, that's that differentiation between a neder and a nedava can be understood when one is obligating himself to bring a carbon. But here, as we just learned, this wording is being expressed regarding Naziris. So how do we understand the difference between neder and a nedava regarding Naziris? So the Rashba answers, neder is something that a person is obligated to do. A nedava is something that person donates. He voluntarily agrees. So he says, that's Pshat in our Mishnah. If somebody accepts upon himself something because he feels that he's obligated to accept upon it, that's not the way Ksherim should approach a donation. The way somebody should approach if he wants to do something that he's not obligated to do, he should approach it as an nedava. It's something that I truly want to do. The Ran takes it a step further. The Ran says the word neder implies that I really am not doing it with a whole heart. Nedava implies that I'm doing it with my whole heart. I'm really anxious and want to do it. So if that's the difference between neder and the dava, so now we can understand why neder is not a word that's really part of the vocabulary of the ksherim versus nedava, which is very much part a word, part of the lifestyle of a ksherim. And that's why if you said can advise some, it would be an effective ways of accepting upon yourself a neder or a carbon or a naziris. The Rishonim make a point that the Mishnah says, "Kenidvas haksherim himenish la'aycho." Again, he tried to express a shvua with the words "Kenidvas haksherim." That's not an acceptable way of accepting a shvua upon oneself. But the Rishonim ask, going back to what we discussed in our previous shiur, Rav Gidl Amarav, where Rav Gidl Amarav said that a shor leil inish, that a person is allowed to make a shvua lizruze nafshe, that he wants to accept upon himself that he wants to do better. So why is that not? So we saw that that's very much an acceptable approach, Rav Gidla Marav taught us in our previous shiur. So why here is it considered something that's not proper? Says the Rosh, that there it wasn't expressed as a shvua. When it's expressed as a shvua, that's not the way you are mezaris yourself. The Rashba answers that when somebody, what Rav Gidl and Marav meant in the previous shiur, says, it's talking about a person who wants to be mezaris himself. He wants to make sure that he's going to do something. And our Mishnah, we're referring to a situation where a person is making a shvua not to do something. And since he's making the shvua not to do something, that's why it's not considered kenidrik sherim. That's not called zruze nafshei. Zruze nafshei is only in a situation where he's going to do something, not do something. Says the Gemara. Our Mishnah began with the words kenidrik rishoim nodem nozem karbon b'shvua. That's why it's considered a valid neder. But the question that the Gemara begins with is just saying the words Kenidri Rishoyim. What does that mean? What do those words mean that they're obligating me in something? V'dil mahachi kama, asked the Gemara, maybe what he meant to say was Kenidri Rishoyim no nadarna, that I'm not going to behave like the Rishoyim, that the Rishoyim make nedarim, as we've been discussing, and the halacha is I'm not going to behave that way. But that's not what the Mishnah seems to say. It says the Rav Shmuel, this is what the Mishnah is referring to, and we already learned the Mishnah this way. Baruch Hashem, Baima Kenidri Rishayim Hareini Alai. Somebody said Kenidri Rishayim Hareini Alai, or he said the word Himenu, or he said Hareini is Naziris. That means that he's mekabel a naziris upon himself. Olai means he's being mekabel to bring a carbon. And imenu means that he's going to make a shua. Says the Gemara, why do we say when this person used the word hareini, it means that he accepted to be a nazir? Yes, the word hareini very much implies that he's accepting upon himself something. But ask the Gemara, why do we say it's accepting upon himself that he's going to be a nazir? Maybe what he's accepting upon himself, Dilma Hareini B'Tanis Kamer. Maybe what he's accepting upon himself is that he's going to be in a Tanis. And I think what the way to understand the Gemara's question is that we have learned so many times that the neder or naziris, whatever we're speaking about, have to be very clear when you express it. Where is the clarity here? And the Shamin Nedarim asks that we know that the Gemara Mishnah, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Masechta that says, Sofik Nedarim Lahachmer. When we have a Sofik about a Neder, we have to be Machmer, or Pirusham, but when it comes to explain them, Lahakal. And the Rosh explains that even though if somebody explains what he meant, if he didn't explain himself in a clear fashion, and it's our job to explain what he meant, we're going to be machmer. So I think what the Shaman Dar means to ask is, in all these questions, if the way the person is articulating himself is not clear, it becomes our job to explain what he says. What's going on here? So the Shaman Dharm says that all these issues are only by Yadois. But when somebody is expressing another in a full-fledged fashion, the halacha is very different. And now the question here is, we're talking about Yadois. And therefore, since we're talking about Yadois, the question is, why are we explaining that he meant to accept upon himself a Naziris? Dilma Hareini B'Tanis Kamer. Maybe he accepted upon himself that he's going to fast. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shai Nazar Ovilafonov. There was a Nazar passing by. That very much indicates that he is accepting upon himself to be a Nazar. Because since the word Hareini does represent a way of accepting upon oneself Naziris, and he accepted it upon himself, that Naziris, when the Nazar was walking by, that's obviously what he meant. Continues the Gemara, Himenu b'shvua, the halacha is that if he said Himenu in a shvua, he won't be allowed to eat a piece of that loaf of bread. But maybe what he meant was, asked the Gemara, Dimel Himenu d'achil nekama. Maybe what he meant to say was that he's swearing that he will eat. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, the case of the Mishnah is the Amar Himenu Shloi Eichel. He was used the word Himena, and he expressly said Shloi Eichel, that I'm not going to eat this loaf. Ask the Gemara, if that's what he said, Yachi Maila Memra, why is there a question? Of course, such a person accepted upon himself a Shvua that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread. Answers the Gemara, since he did not use the word shvua, so maybe it should not be considered a valid way of accepting a shvua. That's what our Mishnah is teaching us, that even though he didn't use the word shvua, the way he expressed himself in our Mishnah is considered a valid yad, and since it's considered a valid yad, it would be considered a full-fledged shvua. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody expressed himself Kenidre Ksherim, it's not a valid way of expressing a nether, as we learned quite extensively, because a nether, the Ksherim don't make Nedarim. Of Nedvarsam, if he says Nedvarsam of the Ksherim, then it's considered a valid nether, because as we explained, since Nedava is Nidvas Halev, it's somebody who wants to do the right thing with his heart, then the halacha is that he should fulfill it. There's an interesting shaila I saw in the Cheshuke Chemed. Somebody is sitting in shul learning, and somebody approaches him and asks him for a donation. And the person, who's even though he's learning, is very generous, and he pledges a very significant sum. And as we're learning now, that is really the way Ksherim behave. The way Ksherim behave is that they are generous. But now the question that comes up is, should he stop, he doesn't have the money with him, should he stop his learning and go home to get and to be able to pay the pledge? Or he's in the middle of learning and he shouldn't interrupt his learning, he'll pay later. So he says that a very interesting psak. He says like this, if he gave a very serious sum of money, so if somebody gave a very serious sum of money, there's a real concern that he may regret what he did. He'll come up with an excuse why not to have to do it. And therefore, he should interrupt his learning to make sure that he'll pay what he obligated himself to pay. But if it's not such a serious amount of money, or I presume if the person who made the donation is a wealthy person, so by him it's not considered such a serious amount of money, he should not stop his learning, because can advise some. These are people who give a nedava with their whole heart. Since they give a nedava with their whole heart, we could be confident that he will fulfill his obligation. So again, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody says, ask the Gemara, Man Tana, where do we find a Tana, the Shana Lebe Neder Nadova, that differentiates between a Nadova and then a Nadova? Lema, says the Gemara, based on Psukim that we're just going to quote in a moment, it doesn't seem to be consistent, Loi Ramei V'Loi Rabbi Yehuda, not with the opinion of Ramei, nor with the opinion of Yehuda. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, in Koheles, Eis Ashatidur Shalem, Toivesh Loi Tidar, and Mishatidur V'Loi Tishalem. So the Psukim are talking about three different situations. One is about a person who pledged and paid his pledge. One is talking about two is the person who didn't make a nether at all. And three is somebody who made a nether and didn't pay it up. And the Torah says, the Pasuk says, Toiv Eshloi Tidar. What does the Pasuk mean? Who is the person that's being praised in the Pasuk? Toiv Mizeh. Ramey's opinion is what's best is the person that doesn't make a nether at all. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, holds Toiv Mizeh, who is the best? Noida Mishalim. So we have here a machloikus. What is best? What is considered the best way of behaving? According to both of them, they didn't differentiate between a nether and a dava. Ramea held that both a neder and a nedava is something that a person should avoid. And Rabbi Yehuda held that both a neder and a nedava is something, if you're going to keep your word, something that we should respect. So our Mishnah asked the Gemara, which did differentiate between a neder and a nedava, whose opinion does it represent? The Stipler, in explaining the machloikis between Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda, says, Ramei is of the concern that even if a person made a pledge and he was completely sincere and serious about his pledge, we always have to be concerned about what will happen down the road. And since we can't be confident of what's going to happen, a person should not make a nether. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that if a person accepts something about himself and he's serious about his pledge, then Rabbi Yehuda holds, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen down the road. And so back to our Gemara, we don't understand. Ask the Gemara, who is the Tana of a Mishnah? Well, I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Sefer Shevet Mishrael explains, how do we understand Toiv Eshloi Tidar? What is Rabbi Yehuda teaching us? That it's better to make a nether and keep your word? Of course. Why would anybody think that there's something to be said for making a nether and not keeping it? So they learn from here that the obligation for one to pay a nether, the obligation to pay a nether really is when you pay the nether. That's when the nether really becomes a nether. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that even though it only becomes a nether when you pay, still you're obligated. You don't make a nether if you're not going to keep it. Says the Gemara, Afil Tema Rameya. You could explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, who holds that one should not make neither another or nedava. That's what we thought. Says the Gemara, no. Kikam Rameya, explains the Gemara, when did Rameya say that one should avoid nedarim? Avo b'nedava, when somebody says a nedava loy kamar, and that Ramei didn't say that one shouldn't make a nether, and therefore our Mishnah, which differentiates between nether and nedava, very much could follow the opinion of Rameya. Ask the Gemara v'ktani, can advise some. We learned in our Mishnah, if somebody said can advise another b'nazar carbon, then somebody said those words by can advise some that the nidvis ksherim are a nether. So how can we say nadav benazav carbon? How can we say that's following the opinion of a mayor who says you should make a nether? Says the Gemara, we should change the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah should not be can advise some nadav benazav carbon, because that again indicates that he made a nether. And according to a mayor, a nether is what should always be avoided. The wording of the Mishnah should be Nodav, can advise some Nodav and Nozbe carbon, but he did not use the word nether. Because if he used the word nether, then of course Rameya frowns upon that. But ask the Gemara, now we're saying the Rameya differentiates between a neder and a davar. Ask the Gemara, so why should one avoid nedarim? Why should somebody avoid a neder? Because by making a neder, maybe he won't fulfill his neder, and then he'll be over bal yachal and be over bal tacher. But ask the Gemara, that same concern exists by nedava nami. He shouldn't make a nedava, for we need to be concerned. Maybe he won't fulfill what he obligated himself. Answers the Gemara, that there is a way to make a nedava with avoiding that problem. Kehillah Azokin. The way you make the nedava is the way Hillah Azokin would bring a carbon. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Amar Olav al Hillah Azokin, Shaloi Od Mol Odom by Losa Koyamav. It never came out that somebody should be moil in his carbon. We know if an animal is made into a carbon and then it's used for somebody's own private use, there's a very serious avera of me'ilah. Says the Gemara, that never happened to Hillel. Why? Because mevi'o kishichul lazara, he would bring the animal as a chulin to the azara, and magdisha, and he would only be magdishit when he got to the azara. And therefore, he right away brought it as a carbon. So there was no period where it was just standing around where there could be concern that he won't do what he's supposed to do. They were trying to point out that why did the Gemishna speak about it? Why did the Gemara speak about an oilah? Because Chatas and Osham come for an Avera, and Hillel didn't do Averas. And Kachim Kalim only become subject to Mila after the shechita. So the only animal where there's me'ila possible while still alive is a carbon oilah. But there's a question that many Rishonim ask. Why isn't there a concern that he brought, that you're not allowed to bring chulin la'azara? The Ran asks that question. And the Ran answers when the Gemara says that he brought it to the azara, it doesn't mean that he actually brought it to the Azara. What it means is he brought it to the Shari Hazara, to the gate of the Azara. But there are Rishonim that explain that the Issa to bring Chulin Ba'azara is only if you bring the Chulin Ba'azara and you treat the Chulin as you treat Kachim. You bring a carbon with it, you do Shchit with it. But just taking the animal and being Magdashit in the Azara is not something that we do with kabbonis, and that is not considered chulin ba'azara. Other rishonim explain that the issa of chulin ba'azara is if there's no hegdish element for it. Here, the reason he's bringing it to the azara, explains the Ran, that that's the opinion of the Rambam, is because with the tzorich avoida, he brought it to the azara to be magdashit because he's going to want to bring it as a carbon. Since that was his entire objective, that he's bringing it L'tzayruch Hegdish, that's why it's considered that he did the right thing. The Pasuk says, V'ayah mokoyim, asher yivcha Hashem alakechem bo'el shakish shmoy shom, shom matoviyas kol asher noichem b'tzav eschem, o'le ischeyechem v'zivcheichem, masriseichem, trumas yetchem, v'kol mitcha nedreichem v'shatiru l'Hashem. What does the Pasuk mean? Tifcha nederechem. So Rashi explains that mifcha nederechem is that you have to bring your best animal to the Beis HaMikdash. But I saw the Sefer Yikra Daraisa says that the pasuk of mifcha nederechem is coming to teach us what the Gemara just taught us about Hillel. That not only should a person bring a carbon, but the Torah is teaching us that when you bring a carbon, you should bring it mifcha nederechem. You should make the hegdish in the best way possible. What is the best way possible? Like we just learned Hillel did, that he was only magdish the animal as he brought it to the Azara. Ask the Gemara. So now we understand how a person who wants to follow the proper halachic procedure brings a carbon. So we understand why there's a difference by kabbonis between a neder and a nedava. But ask the Gemara, nedava and the naziris, as we keep on using in our shir, the word nedava means somebody who's doing it in a proper fashion, in a better fashion, versus somebody who only did it with a nedava, where is that evident by Naziris? The nedava of Naziris, Ma'ikla Meimra. Because as the Rishonim explain, the question is that the way the Rashi explains, all of the concerns that we would have when somebody accepts upon himself a Naziris, that he's maybe going to violate the Naziris, there should be no difference whether he accepted it upon himself by saying neder or whether he accepted it on himself by saying nedava. That's the Rashi explains. The way the Tosfos Yeshanim explains is that, as we explained earlier in our shiur, there are very significant halachic differences when one accepts upon himself a carbon with the word neder versus when one accepts upon himself a carbon with the word nedava. But says the Tosfos Yeshanim, such a difference by a Naziris? Answers the Gemara, what Nedava by Naziris means, like the story of what happened with Shimon HaTzadik. The Tanya Shimon HaTzadik, Tanya Amr Shimon HaTzadik, Miyamai lo ilchalti oshim nozer tamei. If a nozer became tamei, the aloch is tamei meis, the aloch is he has to wait for 7 days, become tar, bring a carbon osham, and then start from scratch. And Rav Shimon said, I never ate from that type of carbon ashram. El ochet, only one time. Says the Gemara, Pamachas ba'echa, Adam echad nozer min adarim. There was a person who was a nozer who came from the south. V'ri'isi shi'efei enayim v'toiv ro'i. I saw he was very good looking. V'kivetzoysa sedurus lo'itotalim. He had a beautiful, his hair was fashioned very nicely. Amati lo'i, b'ni, ma'ro'isa l'hashchus asarcha zehanoa. A nozer we know is going to have to cut all of his hair. And I asked him, why did you take this upon yourself? Amalei, Roya Yisi L'Abba Be'iri. I was a shepherd for my father. And many Mefarshim point out, why does he have to say that he was a shepherd for his father? As we're going to see now in the Gemara, this person acted in a very appropriate manner. And what was the schus that he should act that way? Say the Mefarshim, he was a royal Abba. He did things for his father. And the schus of the mitzvah of kibbut of aim brought him to do what's right. And alachti l'malas mayim in amayin, and I once went to fill water from the spring, niskalt kalti bebuah shali, and I looked at my image, opachs la yitzri, and the yetzahara grabbed a hold of me, and he wanted to cause me to do the wrong thing. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dal, Mishnah Chaf Aleph, Hakina v'ataiva v'akovid moitzinas odom min ha'olam. And what happened here was he got involved with Olam Hazah when he saw how good looking he is and all the opportunities of Olam Hazah. Amatiloi, so it says this individual, I said to the Yetzahara, Russia, lomata mizga ba'olam she'en loch. Why are you so involved in this world that doesn't belong to you? Why is this important? What is the end of a person? A person's going to turn into worms. Havoida, and at that point he says, I made a shvua, shagel chal l'shamayim, that I'm going to become a nazir and then cut my hair l'shem shamayim. Says the Gemara Madati, so says Rav Shimon, Miyad says Rav Shimon, Madati v'n neshakt v'al roishay. I kissed him on his forehead, and amarti lo, and I said to him, B'ni k'moicha yibu noziru naziris b'Yisrael. There should be more people who accept upon themselves naziris, they accept upon themselves naziris, such as you. Olach akas oimer, regarding you, the Torah says, Ish kiafli linda nozir nazil Hashem. When the pasuk speaks about a nazir, it speaks about a pasuk about an individual who's going to be a nazir l'Hashem, and the Gemara is saying that you are such a pasuk. Says the Gemara, Maskla Ravani, Mashna Oshem Nazir Tamei D'Layachol. Why did he never eat the Oshem of a nazir? Das al chait, because it did an aveira. Because he became tamei. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, kol Hashem snamin l'ayichel. So you should never eat a carbon asham that's brought by any individual. Because why would a person bring an asham? Dal chet asu, they come because the person did an aveira. Amalei, Rabbi Yana. So Rabbi Yana explained, Hainu tayama. This is the reason. Normally, when somebody brings a carbon osham, carbon chatos, because he did an aveira, it represents that he has charoto for the aveira that he did. And since he has charoto for the aveira he did, he's doing tshuva, we accept the carbon. But a nazir, kishen tayin nazirim, when they have charoto, they became nazirim. And what happens is, as we explained earlier in this year, if they become a tamei in the middle of their term, they now end up having to keep more days of naziris because they have to wait till they become tar and start all over again. Rabban Alam, you made naziris, and they have to be a nazir for more days than they expected. And therefore, they then have charota, mischatman, they have charota, because they accepted upon themselves to be a nazir for a certain amount of days, and now it turns out that they're going to be a nazir for many more days than they accepted upon themselves. And that's why we have to be concerned. It's not exactly that way explained to Rishayim, but it's like Chulun Lazarev that's not brought sincerely. Ask the Gemara, Yehoch, I feel nazir tar nami. Nazir tar, loy, we don't have to be concerned about a nazir. The mude omid nafsh de yachalindar. A person doesn't accept upon himself a naziris unless he's certain that he could do it. So if he doesn't become tamei, so this was the term that he accepted upon himself, and it's the term that we assume he will be able to keep. But a person who accepts, who ends up having to keep more than he has to keep, that's the person that we need to be concerned. Says Shimon HaTzadik, when I saw this individual, and this was an individual who ended up, as we explained, being a nazir for longer than he expected to be. But since, says the Ran, in explaining the Rashba in explaining this Gemara, this person clearly accepted his naziris l'shem shemayim. Since he accepted his naziris l'shem shemayim, whatever the naziris would mean, even if it mean that he have to be a nazir for longer than he expected, Shimon wasn't so concerned about keeping his, about eating his Osham nazir tamei, because Shimon HaTzadik knew that this person is sincere. The Gemara said that this individual was not, came from the Dorim. Why is it important, asked the Mashah, to teach us that he came from the Dorim? So the Mashah explains, the Gemara says, Chazal teach us, Haroitza l'chachkim yadrim. Somebody who wants to be a chachkim should go from the south side. So it says the Mashah that this person was a chacham. His entire behavior shows chachma, and that's why the Gemara focuses that he came from the Dorim. Din Yaakov has a different pshat. He says that when we learn Masechta Midas, the Mishnah in Masechta Midas teaches us that the Lishkas Naziris was in Dreimus Mizrachis, was on the southeast side of the Azara. And that the Gemara means to tell us that he encountered the Nazir in the place where the Nazaris, the Nazirim, are normally found. The Mefarshim say that the Yetzirah, when he saw his image, Bikish L'Tardeni Min Olam. Why did Bikish L'Tardeni Min Olam? Because as soon as a person looks at himself, explains the Mashah, and he sees that he's good-looking, what that causes that he should become a Baal Gaiva. And Gaiva is the beginning of all other Averis. Another pshat that the Ran suggests is that the Ran suggests that by looking at his image, it's a lesson that he should follow his eyes. Whatever he sees, that's what he should do. And that's why the Gemara teaches us he accepted upon himself a Naziris, and he made and shvua that what he's going to do was going to be l'shem shemayim. As the pasuk says, ish kiafli ninda neda nozel Hashem, that he meant it completely, that he meant it completely l'shem shemayim. The Evan Ezra says that the pasuk, as we just said, when it speaks about Naziris, begins ish kiafli ninda neda, and explains the Evan Ezra, most people follow the Yetzirah. Most people, what they like is what they do. That a person should be able to overcome those nisyonos. That a person should do what is the right thing to do and not just follow whatever he desires, says the Ibn Ezra, that's what the Torah teaches us. Ish kiyafli, that's a wonder. That's not something that will cause him, that's not something that usually people do, and that's why it's called a pella. I saw that the Novominsk Rebbe, the Per Nochem, explains, the Gemara says, usually, usually what causes that a person should want to become a nazir, says the Gemara, that he sees a nazir, a soita, who acted inappropriately, and that causes him that he should learn the lesson of yayin and stay away from him. But usually, somebody doing the right thing, somebody seeing something positive, is not what causes a person to become a nazir. Says the Gemara, here the chiddush was that he saw a positive thing. Here he was able to see that he is doing what the Torah wants him to do, that he's going against the Yetzer Hara. And such a person should still want to do the right thing. That is considered a nazir. That is considered the proper way, said Rav Shimon, of a person becoming a nazir. I saw that Rav Simcha Zitzel Brody Zitzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, would often use, when he learned this Gemara, he would say a mashal. He said, there was once a king observing a number of children playing in the dirt. And he saw they were having a good time. But he didn't assume that he's going to join them. Because how could he join them? He's the king. That's what Rav Simcha Zitzel says. When a person sees the Yetzer Hara, and he sees the world, and he sees maybe what the world has to offer, instead of a person taking the attitude, well, I want to join that, the attitude, he says, is that I'm a king, and it's unbecoming for a king to behave that way. A king is a king, and every Jew has a neshama. Every Jew has a neshama, and the neshama is what's supposed to keep us in check to do what's right, not to do, on the other hand, what's wrong. We're supposed to use our neshama to remember el kai neshama shenasata bi tayrihi. This is one of the reasons that I saw that they don't cover the mirrors in the home of an Ovel Rachman Tzlan. The reason that we cover the mirrors in the home of a Ovel is because death is associated with the Yetzer Hara. And our Gemara just taught us that when people look at their image, unless you're like the Nazir of our Gemara, it could cause the individual to do the wrong thing. And that's why you cover up the mirrors, to show that we don't want to have any connection to that Yetzer Hara.